Limark TechNet tonight at 8 o'clock. This is the W2VL repeater.
Net time.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I'm net control operator for this, the Limark Technical Net. Every Sunday night at 8 o'clock or so, we meet together in front of our radios, and we exchange information, ideas, opinions, and we learn, we teach, and we hopefully entertain. And I thank you once again for joining me this Sunday night at 8 p.m. to do the same. This has been going on for more than 43 years, mostly under the care of Dick K2RIW, which unfortunately became a silent key a few years ago. Anyway, let me drop for a second, and I shall return with the usual links. Okay, if you want to reach me via email, that would be either for what we used to call mailbag questions or TechNet puzzles possibilities, or if you have an expertise in a technology that's gotten into the news and you'd like to share it with us, or if you'd like me to tap Paul on the shoulder and ask him to take a look at a space or NASA-related story and give it in you. Of course, you can reach him directly. His email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. My email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. As always, I maintain a link page. I cut and paste interesting articles I've read throughout the week, and I put it on a link page, and it stays up there forever, ever, ever. You can get to it by typing into your browser, roy.ac2gs.com. We have available a chat room. It's been kind of quiet for the last month, but every so often it erupts into a lot of activity. You can get onto the chat room by typing into your browser chat.ac2gs.com. We offer a audio stream of the TechNet on the Internet. In the beginning, just ran it for the few hours we were doing the TechNet, but few people asked me to keep it live the rest of the week, so it's also a good opportunity. If you're out of radio range but you want to know what's going on in Glen Oaks, you type into your browser technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you the audio stream. And I always like to remind people that MikeAC2NJI has a great archive site. It's called amateurradio.tv. It has over a million visitors to it. And it's a great archive for the technical net. His audio files go as far back as September of 2006. So avail yourself the wisdom of people who either moved away from the area or unfortunately become silent keys over the years. So that's the usual links. Let me drop for a second. I'll tell you what I got planned. Okay, a standard operating technical net tonight. I hope there are people with questions out there. It was kind of quiet last week for some reason. I'll have some opening statement about something slightly different than artificial intelligence, but in the news, a somewhat skeptical view on my part, but that's what I do here. Then we will go for questions, comments, and topics. Hopefully the first few will be amateur radio related, but I'm open for any discussion of any science and or technology, and I will try to do my best to give people some insight into some aspects of it. That should take us to approximately 10:15. Paul WS2N will join us for the SpaceNet report. That should take us approximately to 11 p.m. when I will return to tie a bow on everything and wish everyone well for the coming week. So if I continue working, the shack continues working, the repeater continues working, and the Internet continues working, hopefully that's what we're going to be doing this week. So with that, let me drop, and I'll give you a little bit of technical news. Okay. Artificial intelligence keeps going on. people are announcing different versions of things and extending and expanding text-based AI to graphic-based AI and music-based AI and voice synthesis AI, all kinds of usual things, and people are still investing hundreds of millions of dollars, and NVIDIA is making oodles and oodles of money and upsetting people who knew NVIDIA from years ago as a graphic processor card designer. You know, if you wanted flashy games, you got yourself an NVIDIA graphics card. I think they've kind of lost interest in the graphics card aspect because that makes up a very small percentage of their enormous profits these days. But still, NVIDIA is doing what it's doing, and game players are some of them are going along with it, but I've seen the new boards being sold for $3,000, which is horrendous. Anyway, the big news this week, supposedly, is Microsoft announced their breakthrough in quantum computing. Quantum computing is a very strange field. Most of the research involved in quantum computing is not actually getting real results, but figuring out more about quantum computing. So it's a very kind of self-gazing field of science right now. It has a lot of promise, supposedly, but none of the promises have been kind of fulfilled. So it's more of an in-deep study, and I think the most likely quantum computers will be very useful in modeling quantum mechanical theories and such. So again, it's kind of gazing in on itself. Anyway, Microsoft announced the Majorana 1. It's a new type of a quantum qubit chip. It utilizes another state of matter, topological state. And although I keep saying that it promises millions of quantum bits, the Majorana 1 chip has 8 qubits. So the actual computational capability is not that great. And of course, like all the previous quantum computing components, it has to be cooled down to the temperature of liquid helium, which gets to be rather expensive. So we'll see how that works out for Microsoft and the world. I've heard way too many breakthrough announcements of quantum computing and haven't really seen them do much with it yet, but we'll see. So if anyone has any comments about quantum computing or the Majorana 1 chip before we start our usual technical TechNet session, feel free, hit that push to talk and ask or tell. Okay, I guess people are kind of indifferent. Well, at least I can pretty much bet you that the Wall Street will not be reacting this week to Microsoft's announcement. You know, everyone's in love with artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence, I don't think, is one of the things for quantum computing. They always talk about doing puzzles and problems that would take thousands of years to solve and breaking all the security that encryption now has on banking records and all kinds of things. Anyway, you know, maybe at some other point in the future, someone will want to discuss the Majorana chip or the general field of quantum computing. Who knows? Anyway, we're open for business. If anyone has any questions or comments or topics for discussion, again, I would prefer if they be of initially of amateur radio related, but we'll take anything. And again, I urge everyone to come on time and so that they can put their name on the list so there won't be anyone disappointed, you know, strolling in at 10 o'clock and wondering why they can't ask their question. So hopefully there's more than a few people out there with more than a few questions tonight. We'll see what develops. So we're open for business. Anyone with any questions or comments or topics for discussion, hit that push to talk and give me your call sign and your first name and what you got.
WK2GJE, Ed. Just curious how tariffs are affecting our purchase of equipment, over.
Anton XGN, I'm ready to relate it.
Okay, Ed and Wes recognized. Ed, could you ask that question one more time? I didn't get the last part of it.
I just are affecting the purchase of some of our ham equipment. I know there's only tariffs from on China steel and aluminum. I don't know if that's affecting those $35 HTs. And I don't think we've touched any tariffs with ICOM or something out of Japan, over.
Okay, to the best of my understanding, they haven't really impacted yet. You know, that could happen any moment. But I haven't read or seen anywhere where the price of Chinese equipment has gone up. Surprisingly, and it makes very little sense to me personally, the price I mentioned earlier, that graphic processor cards, NVIDIA just had a kind of paper release of the 5000 series, which is their latest, greatest, and they've already marked up their manufacturer's suggested retail price by about 20%, citing the Asian tax. But you know, as far as I'm aware, those boards come out of Taiwan and other places in Asia that's not the mainland China. So, you know, places that shouldn't be impacted yet by taxes, by tariffs, are using that, I think, as an excuse. But I haven't seen any legitimate markups yet. I mean, if anyone out there has seen or heard of some Chinese products that suddenly increase in price, let me know. Yes, Leslie?
Yankee Dom, Sam?
Yes, Sam.
Your callsign.com. Would you mind receiving what they need so that the American connected to it and they like to see it? Could you repeat the address one more time?
Yes, it's amateur radio. Dot TV. Okay, let me check. Yeah, amateurradio.tv. Did you get it this time?
Yes, I did. By the way, I first spent the afternoon downloading your articles that you've written, both posted on the website of the Kings County Radio Club, and also your attachments to the monthly report is phenomenal. What you've written, I'd like to know how it started to read it. It took you hours to download. Over.
I'm glad you found them. I hope you find them enjoyable and you learn things from them. I put in a lot of effort writing those articles. I still have to upload probably a few more archived newsletters that have articles at the back of them that I have to put up on the website. And I keep on saying that one of these days I'll organize most of those articles that never got on the website to their own pages. It's on my perpetual to-do list. So I hope you enjoy them.
I am looking forward to reading them. I was thinking to myself that today you have published them on, say, Amateur Radio According to Roy, something like that.
Well, I mean, I published them on the Kings County Radio Club newsletters. I published them on the Limark e-log. So they're sort of published in a club sort of way. I don't know. You know, I mean, they're somewhat disconnected. They, you know, maybe I could arrange them in some kind of more meaningful order, but it ended up being that if I was in the mood to write something and something interested me and I wanted to put it down on paper, I did. A couple of years ago, I got really interested in antenna simulation software, and I did a whole bunch of articles that explain or demonstrate with the 3D modeling aspect of the antenna simulators, where vertical incident sky waves look at and what a horizontal center-fed dipole radiates depending upon how close it is to the ground. And if you bring it too close to the ground, it just goes straight up and warms the local cloud cover. So, again, I think that's included in the files that you downloaded, so I hope you do enjoy them.
I actually downloaded all 6 points, I believe, of your antenna diagram. Like I said, I was fascinated and I was supposed to be really, digesting what you wrote. ABC, Yankee Bob, over.
Okay, very good, Sam. Again, thank you for mentioning it. I put a lot of effort in those articles. Unfortunately, they kind of came and went, and we'll see. Maybe I could put them in some kind of a form that's easier for most people to just kind of thumb through as opposed to download. But I thank you. Getting back to Ed's comment and question, is there anyone out there that I think Wesley said that he had something to say?
That is as important as anything.
Okay. Anyone else out there who noticed any increase in Chinese products? Again, I don't recall, I kind of thumbed through Amazon, and I haven't noticed any kind of significant change. I would assume it's going to take a little bit of time from, the setting up the tariffs to seeing any kind of price adjustment. But, who knows? Okay, Ed, it doesn't seem that anyone's noticed any kind of, If the Baofengs go from $35, they increase to $38, I don't think anyone's going to be losing their night's sleep on something like that. Maybe more expensive items will have a much bigger impact on everyone.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid the subject of China because I've got so much one-side impression and it's not pleasant. But
okay, I mean, Ed was kind of approaching it purely as a economic type of a thing that we kind of depend upon Chinese manufacturers to sell very inexpensive, sometimes high quality, sometimes middle quality, sometimes low quality products. So, almost everyone out there probably had something that was manufactured from China that they use in their playing radio. It could be an HD, it could be a knockoff of HD antenna, a meter, there's always, there's lots of little things that, I know a whole bunch of younger hams that have invested in Chinese Zhigle transceivers, and they seem to be enjoying their time with low-power portable radios that are a lot less expensive even than Yaesu's. That's an aspect of the amateur radio, not necessarily just politics. Anyway, thanks, Ed, for the question. Thanks for the participation. Once again, I just want to remind everyone We're still open for questions and comments, so if you want to get your name on the list, please hit that push to talk and tell me your name and call sign and what's the nature of question, comment, or topic. Okay, I guess we're in store for another slow Sunday night. I hope people kind of just kind of coming in late. Hopefully we'll have a few more questions available later on. So I guess, Wes, it's your turn.
Thank you very much. Dr. Ray. I'm kind of, I should shut up in terms of China, but then the tariffs, especially tariffs. Well, Canada said that they're going to raise the tax on Tesla cars 100%. What would be your reaction to that in next year?
Well, again, it kind of lands in politics. I understand their attitude. Elon, I'm not a pal of Elon's, and he's made a lot more enemies in the last month or so. I don't know what's going on with him. I used to make kind of jokes way back that he was kind of the Howard Hughes of our time, and eventually he may end up in a Las Vegas hotel room using tissue box for slippers. I don't think in retrospect he's quite the same type of a person as Howard Hughes. So I would assume he'll have some other strange story at the end. But he's not making friends. Europe is upset with him. Doing the Roman salute in public doesn't make you that many friends. They still remember World War II, unfortunately for him. He's turned a lot of customers away. I'm sort of bemused over the stockholders. This is not the first time that a CEO has become a kind of a liability. I think it was called Wayfair. It's a company that sells inexpensive furniture. And the guy who ran it, the CEO, became very right-wing political, and the board jettisoned him, kicked him the heck out. Because, you're basically polarizing everything, and 50% of people who might be customers decide not to be customers. So I don't know where this story ends, but I don't think it's going to end terribly well for anyone.
Opinion of a professional psychologist, the narcissistic personality. I am Mr. President. I am the guy. I won. I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you. And I'm going to this and this and that. Met another guy. A child. A child with tools, with unlimited ability to act. 5 years, 7 years old child. What would be like if I, take care of Social Security? There is no longer Social Security, no longer pension, no longer Medicare. And so, we
is this now the political net?
Politics. But imagine that you have two personality. In that one, not so quite slim mammal, and the other one, not quite grown up. Which is okay, because not being grown up makes you, your fantasy works when you have enough of money, the richest man in the world. Of course. Is he a genius? No. Your comment on Turkshia.
Is this the political net now? Is this the KGB political net?
No. We We're not talking politics. We're talking about characters and to exist.
Yeah, Wesley, I think this is way too close to politics. You know, I mean, it's upsetting some people, on both sides. So as much as I understand your concern over the subject, this veers way too much into politics and, gives people rashes and such. So we want this to be a friendly enclave where we could all hopefully get along together here. I hope you appreciate that.
Of course. Talking about true cartoon characters is not the politics. We're not going to talk politics, of course. I understand you, Dr. Roy. Back to you.
But when you...
To
avoid the 20% increase. Now, divine $400, $500, it really does make a difference. Over.
Yeah, well, I mean,
we could talk tariffs, but, they're so closely attached to politics and personalities. And psychology is a great topic, but when you get into actual individuals, then again, you come into politics and you're getting into people being upset. And I want the TechNet hopefully to be a safe haven for everyone and a place to discuss science and technology. There's more than enough news shows that psychoanalyze people predict future craziness you can find that on any place on the internet. So I think we should kind of veer away from psychology for the time being.
It is, it was good for one point. Talking about cartoon characters was good to wake up the audience. We know that we are being listened. People are asking, so there's a good. I had a good conversation today with one of the ham radio amateurs about another character that seemed to be real. A doctor of medicine, right? Who is a physicist, who is a chemist, who follows all of the newest advances in technology and extremely good and advising and helping and dedicating his time into the other people. And we're talking, how good would be to have such a guy who spent his daytime for preparing the material for ham radio operators and then he runs the TechNet. Unbelievable. And to XGM.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, Wesley. I'm just a regular guy doing my thing. I remember when I first discovered the technical net. Unfortunately, Brooklyn was never great for the LIMARC repeater system. It was a little bit better early on, but the first few years of me listening to the technical net, I couldn't really interact with it because my signal was mostly noise, so I would send Dick emails, and he would send me some replies occasionally, and that's how it all began way back in 2011. So it's been an interesting ride. I've said before that if you would have told me back 2011 that this is where it would land me, I would suggest that maybe you needed to seek help because that seemed highly unlikely at the time, but highly unlikely things happen, I guess.
Okay, I do it, Sheehan. Okay, the first subject to discuss, SDR Play, RSPDX versus AirSpy, HF Labs Discovery SDR personal observations and comments. So, I was was looking at advance of technology and how SDR is taking place of most of the traditional things that we saw in nature, in the recent history. Let me drop. And then I found it quite amazing. There is a guy who has a Wikipedia page as well, a German ham radio amateur, DKHOK, Nils Schiffenhauer, not Jewish. Okay, anyhow. he was also impressed with that. And we see two American products, SDR Play and then Air Spy HF plus Discovery SDR. So one is quite a size, four times of Air Spy HF Discovery SDR, that you could take with you into your bag when you're going somewhere on the trip. It doesn't take much place and is extremely good. So the smaller one has a coverage of 500 kilohertz and 31 megahertz. Now, one of the subjects that I'm going to discuss tonight is a new ham radio band and the activity of those new ham radio bands. There would be 220 meters, one of them. And actually, I have a lot of stuff, so I'm not gonna go through it right now. But anyhow, I was amazed by performance of SDR. So it's minus 140 dBs sensitivity. So we're talking about the average for ham radio being 0.0. Okay, so 0.01 of microvolts. We're talking about the old form of expressing sensitivity, but this device seems to be much better than that, and having dynamic range 110 dBs blocking. Filtering is quite advanced, and talking about filtering, let me drop. Talking about the filtering, Discovery, which is an American company, where they are? They are in Illinois. Okay. So talking about junk or another Chinese products that I'm not wealthy enough to purchase and lose money, but many people do. We have a company that has something they call new way of producing a SDR receiver, at least for the receiving part of it, supported band, and that company says about something like a new DSP core. And of course, there is a fight between the companies right now, which the Chinese don't care, they simply steal. I'm not saying all of the Chinese, but some of the Chinese, that the safety precaution that I've learned in English language, when you say some, nobody's going to accuse you of being, of targeting somebody, or some countries, or some nations whatsoever. So, Chinese don't care. But two American companies making a good product, they try to make better product, but at the same time they guard their access to their software, so everything is about the software. But the question to Dr. Roy is, did you have a chance to follow how SDR was evolving during the years and to actually?
AC2GS. Well, as always, I've been very interested in software-defined radio, and, you know, a little bit less than 10 years ago, I bought my Flex Radio, which is an SDR, and I always look into it. As far as I'm aware, there's no real revolutionary change. They're just refining the analog to digital converters to be higher bit rates, and so that's what's giving you the heightened dynamic range. The underlying concept that you have analog amplification through the front end, and at that point, a lot of the present-day SDR receivers digitize it through ADC and then process it like any computer signal. They manipulate the bits to produce the modulation and demodulation that's required. But I unless I'm wrong, chipsets come and chipsets go. But ultimately, it's just the never-ending improvement of digital to analog converters that seem to be the major kind of change in the specs for these SDRs.
Right. So thinking about this H2 in this device that I'm talking about includes a very high dynamic range data converters along with the high performance passive mixers with the excellent polyphase harmonic rejection structure, and the included band tracking plus electrodes eliminate unwanted interference, which is something that I always love, and they preserve the dynamic range of the receiver. So the most problems we have when we have a JSON guy that is trying to enjoy his hobby and we are trying to listen to somebody, but it happens that he cannot hear you, but you can hear him, and he's very much disturbing you, not wantonly. I'm not talking about the guys who do it on purpose to show how fat I am, how big I am, and how much of a winner I am, and how much I'm going to do because I want to. N2HG and Dr. Roy.
Okay. Well, I mean, ultimately, as I said before, modern day, there's all kinds of different flavors for software-defined radios. There's hybrids in which it's all analog, all legacy, until it goes up to the IF stage, and then the IF signal, instead of going to an amplifier and a demodulator, it goes to the digital analog converter. There are some radios presently, Japanese, I think Yaesu's, and also some ICOMs that have dual tuners. One of the tuners is a hybrid, the other is a pure SDR. Pure SDR usually, as I said before, the analog stage that remains is the front end. It does some selectivity and low noise, a high gain RF signal amplification that feeds into the DAC. And once it's in digital form, there are now no longer legacy filters. All the filters that are used, anti-aliasing and all the other types of filters, basically run on software. So you're not going to see much in the way of inductors and capacitors. It's like looking into a computer for the most part. But you can do a lot of selectivity in the front end by kind of limiting the bandwidth. So if you don't, there's a rollover phenomena in software-defined radios. And, you know, if it passes the bandwidth range, it kind of rolls over and kind of replicates the signal and distorts what you're going for. So, but nowadays, again, the bandwidths are getting wider and wider because of the amazing power that DACs have these days. When software-defined radio was a new thing, DACs were very limited. How many bits of magnitude and what kind of sampling rate you could get out of it without burning out the silicon. But every year they improve the technology. So you know, that's a good thing. Also, it means that ultimately SDR radios will probably go down in price to a point where it makes no sense to buy or build any legacy analog radios.
Of course, talking about sampling rate, 32 bits for sound devices, sound processing parts of the electronics, which applies to SDR radios today, is something new. And in computers we had 64, but now it's probably going up. But anyhow, back to you for the comment and Turkey.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much need beyond a certain point for computers to be able to sample digital analog signals into digital. You know, when you get to have kind of 192 kilohertz resolution, that 64-bit dynamic range, a lot of times what they do is they make it 32-bit with an additional 32-bit kind of footing range that can go up and down. So you know, it's sort of like where we are now with television sets that are 8K resolution. I mean, you know, unless you got great vision and you tend to watch television from about 3 inches away from the screen, it tends to kind of overwhelm our sensory capabilities. So there becomes a point of incredible diminishing returns. So, improving the technology of digital analog converters for SDRs will probably be never ending because, you know, people will want something that goes from DC to light. We're greedy that way. But as far as computers are concerned, I don't think it really, there's not a lot of money to be made in a digital sampler. That goes beyond 192 kilohertz. That's the kind of ultimate sampling rate for the highest fidelity music that no one can possibly hear because it's beyond everyone's hearing sensor capability.
Interesting to what you mentioned. There are plenty of things around us that apply to your comment. So, if I touch the Pandora box, it's going to be too much of conversation. I have too many subjects to discuss. So I do not want to really do it. Now, so we're talking about the SDR play, RSPDX, which is one product, and the other product, the one that I was talking about, is quite a few times smaller, at least two times thinner, at least eight times smaller, and is being called a discovery, the SDR AirSpy HF plus discovery SDI. AirSpy HF plus discovery SDR. That's the one. And from the opinion of the guys who are professional electronic engineers or spent in communication field a lot of time, I was able to find out the opinion about that particular one, although it doesn't go higher than 30 megahertz, but it starts from very low 50 kilohertz frequency are something that is absolutely perfect in this market right now. That would be soon probably something better. Dr. Roy, for the comments.
It's a nice little receiver. It's light. It's probably very good as a portable. The guy who was kind of reviewing it was kind of not a big fan. I mean, he was saying it has some good things, but he was very upset with the way they lie on the software from any kind of competitor. And, you know, he mentioned the limited bandwidth at the high end. He mentioned the lack of more than one antenna input. So, you know, and at the end, I think he said, you know, if he had to decide whether or not to buy it, he wouldn't. So, and he said this was the last one from AirSpy or from Discovery that he intended to buy. So something left a bad taste in this guy's mouth.
Exactly, and that's why I like his comment. It's like you are skeptics. For me, you are skeptics. And all your value is in processing your skepticism, because you're doing it excellent, absolutely, and based on lots of physics, based on modern science, based on reality whatsoever. The guy did it the same, but from psychology standpoint, we have a guy with the toy. Nobody knows about this toy, or nobody has this toy, or nobody is interested in this toy, or nobody has too much money with this toy, but he bought a toy. Like, let's say, the newest ICOM 7760. $6,200, or a new Corvette, or a new something, you know, I have it. Or there is a tariff of 100% from let's say Canada on Tesla cars, but somebody says, I want to have it, I have it. Now he's proud of it. And then based from this pride, the guy is talking about another product that is not worse. It is just different, and it's smaller, and it's more portable. So I believe that is the place where we could classify the opinion of that guy. Back to you.
Yeah, I prefer a kind of mixed review to a glowing review, because there are so many hidden complications to people who come on YouTube and they review stuff. At the very least, very often, they're given the product for free. They may get a loaner. They may get a permanent ownership of it. Sometimes they're sponsored, so they get a big bag of money. And you're never quite sure what exactly is going on, whether they're just incredibly agreeable people or they have a vested interest in showing you the best possible aspect. And it's more of a commercial than it is a review. Those are always dangerous on YouTube, and you can kind of tell that the people are aware of it, because they always kind of throw in that I was paid for a sponsorship of this, but I didn't have to tell the company what I was going to say, and I didn't have to clear it with them. Okay, maybe that's right, maybe it's not. But, you know, I prefer reviews where there are good things and there are bad things, because in my experience, there has never been a perfect product out there. There's always a couple of things left out. If for no other reason than to sell you a newer model in a year or two.
Well, thank you very much for your comment, Dr. Brett. Russian pirates, Russian radio pirates on U.S. Navy communication satellite. That is another subject I would like to talk about. So, yeah, I'm not a racist. I respect everybody, even Russians, some Russians. I cannot tolerate, but it is like in every society, you have your preferences. And you don't like this or that kind of toy paper toilet paper. Okay. What happens is that there was a video showing the U.S. Navy satellite, communication satellite, that was made, that was put on in the space by our Tasmanian bomb, our millimeter Italian budget. And I have never been to Russia, but I speak Russian very well. I can even shoot the actual I want to talk in Russian language. So I could be from Moscow, more from St. Petersburg, whatsoever. And I've learned that in the United States of America. And I have never been to Russia. Let me drop. Okay. I've learned because I, in the time before 9/11, I was exposed to Russian scientists, lazy enough, who didn't want to speak English. In America, in the country where English is the language the most used, they didn't want us to learn English. Unbelievable. Where did you come from? And what did you come for? But anyhow, I learned that. So, then a radio pirate monitors the SOT SATCOM H, United States Navy Communication Satellite, for various two communication broadcasting signals were monitored using the simple RTL, SDR dongle. And five elements CDI antennas, but in some situations they could have just walkie-talkie in their hands, and they could communicate with the military American satellite. Okay. When I listen to this to the language, to the words they use, the flavor of the smell of something that is smelling couldn't be more precise in words said than just trying to translate the words that they were using. A language of the trash. And the one guy is coming from the work, he said, hey, if you mean from now, we're going to be here, there, whatsoever, and every second word, if not every word, but having some meaning, is Buddha. And they were able to penetrate American satellites. Dr. Roy, for your comment.
Well, you know, I mean, this is what happens, unfortunately. Any secure channel eventually loses its secure aspect. You can break into anything. I mean, it goes back to what I was talking about, picking locks and such. The point is to try and make it more difficult to pick your lock than your neighbor's lock. It doesn't really work very well with hacking because, you know, sometimes hackers are really out to make a lot of money and, you know, the North Korean have made hundreds, if not billions, of dollars hacking other countries and holding their data ransom and such. But, I mean, eventually every kind of encryption technology, every type of satellite gets broken into. It's unfortunate, but, you know, I mean, again, don't want to touch real politics, but, you know, the Ukrainians have broken into Russian computer systems. The Russians have broken into Ukrainian computer systems. You know, everyone's doing it to everyone else, unfortunately. I think we are probably doing it, too, to a less obvious extent, and it's not being particularly spotlighted in our media, but I would be very confused if intelligence agencies aren't trying to break foreign country sites. So it's, again, part of the modern-day technological warfare. There's a lot of wars that are going on that have nothing to do with armaments.
Yep. tax money. We're putting billions of dollars into the technology that's supposed to make us more secure. And the technology is being used by Russians. And it's not by few Russians who are professional, no. Some junk guy at some place buying Chinese crap could do it. They could have it. We're not taking everybody from us because we are licensing and we obey the law. But we could do it too, as well. So let me give you a few words about the history of all that satellite. Okay, so USA-46 communication satellite, also known as FLT SATCOM 8, was launched using the Atlas Center launch vehicle from Cape Canaveral AFS. It was the last Atlas launch, and NASA would manage future unmanned NASA launches. And it will be contracted from the private sector. So Platcom provided word UHF, that was 250 megahertz, voice and teletype communication for U.S. Armed Forces. So it was for U.S. Army. And some junkies from just some place, junkie place, uses it for their fun. Anyhow. Trying to not name. It was specially designed to communicate with small, inexpensive terminals used by field troops. So we're talking about handy-dokey. We're talking about your two-way radio. So in a American budget, there was a decision to make something that could communicate with terminals used by field troops and platforms, airborne aircraft, ships, and submarines. The 12 UHF channels were used by Air Force 10, by the Navy, and one by the National Command Authority. And the experiment EHF package aboard was a test bed for the next generation communication systems. Built by TRW Space and Technology Group, it was 2,310 kilogram satellite. So we're talking about if kilograms, we take it twice, so it's 4,620 pounds satellite. It had a hexagonal body, measured 2.46 meters in diameter and 6.76 meters. 6 meters is like 3 feet in a meter. It's 18 feet high and it's 9 feet wide. It has a 4 meters, so it's a 12-feet satellite, solar panels, and nickel mercurium batteries, and provides 1,500 watts of power for 5 years of service. But, like most or everything that is made in the United States of America, my beloved country, it doesn't work 5 years, it works 50 years.
Yes?
Yes.
See, but that's the fly in the ointment. Technology improves day by day. So it's all well and good that it's operational 50 years later, but probably at this point all the underlying state-of-the-art technology it involved is accessible to anyone with an Internet account. So that's part of the reason why you had some malcontents breaking into it. It's like come across a lock that was built in the 12th century. I mean, you know, at this point, all you have to do is give it one good whack, and the damn thing will shatter. So that's probably one of the problems with this once upon a time state of the art technology.
thank you very much for that comment, Dr. Voigt. But here's the, something what is worth noticing. So we have American technology that was supposed to be working 5 years. It's working 50 years, let's say.